Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
All right, here we are again, Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Cindy DeFerdinand. Another exciting week in the lives of two of America's most wanted coaches. So,
we were already laughing before the show, so now we're on a roll, right?
Yes, we are on a show. In our pre-production meeting, we iron some things out. Well, Cindy, sounds like you had another interesting week. I know you were giving some instruction to some folks, and some pretty principal issue questions came up. You want to share a little bit about what happened there?
Yeah. Before the show, Bruce and I were talking about a class I was teaching this weekend, coaching certification course, and a lot of concern kept coming up. You know, we draw sometimes therapists, counselors, and we make a big point of distinguishing what the difference is between a counselor or a therapist or a coach. And a lot of students concerned with, obviously we don't practice therapy, but what do you do when an issue comes up? You know, and I always tell everybody that, we don't have a license if we're not a therapist to practice. It's illegal, so you always refer out. That's general rule. But also, I think it's really important, and Bruce and I were talking about, generally, you don't have that showing up for a coaching session. Maybe somebody's been in therapy, worked through stuff concurrently in therapy, but it's not something that generally shows up. So I think it's be a good use of our time for us to talk a little bit about who is that coaching client that's showing up in your office. And I'm going to just say one thing. I think you get what you look for, and a coaching client is showing up looking for movement forward. If I had to say one thing, they're looking to succeed. They're looking for some movement forward in their life. And that is what shows up typically in a coach's office. What do you think, Bruce?
Yeah, I agree. And all too often, the person, conversely, the person who shows up for a therapy appointment is dealing with some sort of a problem, and it's more problem focused versus solution focused, at least at first.
That's a great way to, there you go. That's a great distinction.
I know, right? That's why we're America's most wanted. Exactly. It just validates. Yeah, that's just one of the core differences, but in the beginning. So, and that kind of leads a little bit sideways, where I think it's great that young adults are getting coaching, proactively. Yes. That they come in for coaching to help find themselves and find their way, and that's also refreshing than probably a lot of the folks that you have seen in your courses, Cindy, that were kind of midlife or mid-late career.
Yeah, I mean, it draws all different age groups, but you're right. I'd say like 30s plus, people looking to change careers, people looking to accumulate all of their expertise and experience and go out and serve and help. But, you know, this 20-something is really interesting, because you would think, and then, sometimes it's probably a little bit of the case where the parents are doing the pushing. What I find, and I see, I never expected to see so many people that in that age group. And I got to tell you something, they are so refreshing and delightful, because they're so eager to learn and to get movement and to make something of themselves. And, just some real smart individuals who are showing up because they want to show up, not because maybe the parent is paying the bill. Paying for the sessions, but they're asking for it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is they're actually motivated and asking for it because there's something they want to do that they need some support with and somebody to partner with them on. So that's really exciting.
And that's interesting how that is okay. And and to you know, this whole idea of failure to launch, or the emerging adult and the 20-something-year-old, either with college degree in hand or not, still residing in their parents' home, and what that looks like. And I think we're going to have a caller that's going to shed some insight into that, at least in his view, and you'll get to hear it firsthand how living at home and some of this stuff on a timeline, it fits and it rings true with the overriding culture. Whereas I'll tell you, people like me in my, I'll just say early 50s, man, I just, you know, it's kind of, I'm part of that old guard. You know, you go to college, you get your job, you live on ramen noodles, you get that, you know, and you just push through, baby, you persevere. And if that doesn't work, go to graduate school. That's what I did. Anyway, no, just kidding. You know, that kind of older paradigm, and that really doesn't fit today. So we'll get to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, get the inside track. But, you know, I think it's nice that young people are seeking out coaches and understanding what a coach can do for them, and that the parents are supporting that. You know, a parent can't be the go-to of everything in a young person's life. And so just wanting to get coached, I think, at that age is very I don't know. It's very inspiring to me, because it shows that at a very young age, they know they need the support and they're willing to go out and get it. And the parents are supporting that process as well. So, you know, what parent doesn't want to see their child be successful?
You know,
be independent, and, you know, if that's what they want, right?
But yeah, sometimes parents will turn the screw a little bit harder, and I'm certainly guilty of this, particularly with my first child. Anyway, like there's kind of like sometimes parents have a more narrow paradigm that they want their kid to fit in. You know what I mean?
Well, and it's usually because it's society standards, you know, like you're right. Saying the old paradigm, you know, 18, you go to college and you start eating ramen and you know, find three roommates and you make it work. And it's a little bit different today. So, The whole point, too, is whatever age, you know, coaching can really help people when they're trying to put it together in terms of they want to see results. And I also and I'm sure you would agree, too, Bruce, people that show up for coaching want to do the work.
Right. And with this population, you're blending the present with the future. In other words, a 20-something client is really more present focused, living probably a little bit more in the moment, right?
Yes.
And so they're particularly in today's on-demand culture, man, this whole delayed gratification thing, like, okay, so I'm going to school, taking classes I don't like because you're telling me I'm going to get a degree in 4 years and then somehow I'm in the land of milk and honey and you know, I'm not feeling it. you know,
right.
And again, that kind of Santa Claus-esque story, like, yep, that's how it works, you know. I mean, that just really doesn't resonate with everybody.
And, yeah, and do you find too, like, some of the people that I coach at that age, they don't want to do the track that you're supposed to do. They're already hearing the callings of a mission and a purpose, and they're sort of deciding, you know what, I'm going to do this first, not later. You know, I'm not going to wait until I'm ready to crack in the corporate world, or, you know, I can't stand my 9-to-5 job. I'm going to do what I want right up front, right here and now. And
exactly.
They're the types that sometimes come for coaching because they already have the vision that of what they really want to do, and they don't want to delay it 20 years.
Right. And so we see that, you know, some of the, you know, greater presence of technical school enrollments, art institute type of programs, culinary programs, a lot of these medical technology schools. You know, just a really strong emergence of those types of programs. I think those are great. You know, when the military kind of went down, which was another you know, that in that demographic, a lot of people were entering the United States military. Well, they're bringing the military forces down. Then something had to happen with these kids that were that would have been military enrollees. Now they have to go somewhere. You know what I mean? And they're literally walking the streets. Some of the kids that might have gone into the military couldn't get a contract because of downsizing, and now there's something to for them to plug into. But anyway,
something
looks
positive.
Like. Yeah, our caller is with us. So welcome to Concierge Coaches Show. How you doing, Dean?
Hi. Doing well.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate
Hi, Dean.
You.
Thanks for calling in.
Of course.
So if you would, kind of, you know, before you started coaching, kind of walk us through a little bit of your experience. You know, had gone to a couple of four-year institutions and then try to find your path to your present-day path. So if you can, walk us through a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, I had gone off to college right out of high school, and high school was pretty easy for me. You know, didn't really study. And then going off to college, in the first, you know, 3 or 4 months, it really didn't work out. A lot of different, you know, I guess pressures were kind of put on me throughout the time there. So I ended up coming back and, you know, finding a job, just working a part-time job and, you know, minimum wage until I got to the point where I thought, you know what, I'm probably ready to try again. And ended up going off to another four-year college, and a similar situation happened, but this time it was a little different. I stayed for the whole semester. I did withdraw from most of the classes. I ended up sticking with one, which was all about study skills and habits and things like that. And so from there, once again, I decided, you know, I did miserably this semester. I probably should take time off, work some more. And eventually I was working a decent job, making a decent amount of money for somebody who wasn't really doing anything specific, just kind of like lower end jobs, I guess. And I tried to apply to a sales job. You know, I thought I probably need to try to at least find something that's going to make a good amount of money, something I can survive off of and not have to worry too much about anything. And everybody was really nice there, but the job was miserable. I hated almost every minute I was working there. And so after that, I said, this is the moment. I can't do this anymore. I need to find something that I'm passionate about. And after, you know, working all this time and kind of finding hobbies and stuff, I thought I kind of figured out what I wanted to do. And now I'm back in school again, and it's going really well.
Hey, Dan, could I ask you just a couple questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, your story about the starting and stopping in college, you know, that's not an uncommon story. And it seems like a lot of young people are finding that where they're just not poised yet for college. Their heart's just not in it. Something else is going on, a sidebar issue in their life that's interfering. But I've heard that story of people starting and stopping. And did you find that you were finding other students, other friends of yours that were kind of experiencing the same thing, not quite sinking into school?
Yeah, I mean, almost everybody I know that I hang out with a lot or, you know, talk to a lot has gone through that or is going through that.
Isn't that interesting? I think that could be a whole show in itself. You know what I mean? Like the whole, how do you handle it if your heart's just not in it and you're not finding success? And it doesn't mean you can't at some point go back and then it's a whole different story. But for whatever reason, there's a lot of young people struggling with sticking and making college work the first or second time around. So yeah, I just wanted to see if you had knew other people, because I hear the same story, Bruce. I'm sure you do too.
Oh yeah.
So Dean, going back, what because you'd gone to first like a 4-year college, you came back, you went to the second 4-year college. What, plugging into the second 4-year college experience that you had, like what were some of the drivers that were kind of beating you down or challenging you or that just, or even maybe it was the thought process as well that kind of just almost stifled you from the second college?
Well, on the second time around, it was one of those feelings of like, well, this is now or never. I need to do this. And kind of with the first one, I think it carried over with the first and second attempts. It was a lot of pressure, you know. There wasn't really a backup plan ever, you know. I never talked to my parents about maybe going to, you know, into a trade school or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was all about getting through college and, you know, going on to find the job that you want to do.
And yeah, it seems like it's a one-way path, you know. That's sort of the story, is a one-way story. And if you find yourself not succeeding or wanting to be there, you don't have a lot of backup stories.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you tried it again. You tried it again, which must have not been a great feeling, you know?
Yeah, and the second time I tried it, you know, things from the get-go didn't work out. With literally the day before, two major life things happened. I broke my ankle, and I was living off campus, so I had to hobble with crutches. And then my grandfather died that day as well.
Ooh.
Yeah, and
a lot.
It wasn't a great start. And with the crutches thing, it actually ended up making me miss my first chemistry lab because I couldn't find it, and it was actually in a basement. And because I missed the first lab, I had to drop out because there were certain things that had to
boot.
Be done that day. And it kind of snowballed into this big effect where, you know, I was already feeling like, well, I'm screwing up already, and it just barely started.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you use that term, like you're screwing up. It's like if the school thing doesn't work, you start feeling like a failure, you know what I mean? And you haven't even got started in life. So we really appreciate you sharing that with you. Bruce, did you have anything else on the college phase of this?
Well, just kind of give us a snapshot of what your parents or maybe your mom or whatever was, you know, coming through that second college thing. You return back. What was the tenor like between you and your family at that moment? Was it tense, or was it like we're going to rebuild, or what was the?
My family was always pretty supportive. They kind of understood I was struggling. Yeah, and they wanted to help out however they could. So I went to like a life coach type thing.
That's so nice to hear, you know, because a lot of times, you know, when you're in that one way story, you know, if you're not succeeding at school, the parents are paying money. There's a lot of pressure. And I'm really glad to hear that they understood that you were struggling and that they wanted to be supportive. That's great.
Yeah, it's helped a lot because it gave me time to kind of focus and think about what I wanted to do rather than just jumping in and going to the first thing that comes to my head.
Yeah, good for you.
You know, you and I had a chance to talk, Dean, and you know, we had talked about you're near the North Texas area in a suburb area of middle to upper middle class folks. So it's kind of right in a good zone for coaching and such. How common is it that you have similarly aged peers and stuff still living at home, and kind of talk a little bit about what you see around you and what were some of the factors that still have these kids living at home?
You know, it's pretty common. Recently in time, it's become a little less common now that my friends all have ended up getting, you know, slightly better jobs from staying in the workforce and moving their way up. But, you know, everybody has some sort of issue like this, at least that I found around me. Everybody has hit a point, or a wall, I should say, that they kind of get discouraged and they need to look towards something else to kind of solve their problems. or they're, you know, college isn't working out and they need to try a different route. So like, you know, a really good friend of mine went in to be an EMT and it's working great for him. But most of the time when you're stuck at home, you can kind of tell there's like a demeanor of, you know, like a negative demeanor because you're not really out experiencing life in the way that a lot of your friends that you went to high school are.
Right. And usually if you're at home, you may not have the resources, you know, financial resources either to go out and do some of the things that you would prefer to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also heard you say, like, you tried that sales job and just hated every minute of it. It wasn't for you. And then you had to really resort and refocus and somehow find your way to something that felt like your purpose or your passion.
Yeah, I had used those skills that I got from the study class to make sure that I could, and also from the job, because the job was a outside sales. I was going door to door, and I had to study my routes every day and learn, you know, different patterns from people, where they were going to be at certain times. And I had to do that when I wasn't on the clock. So it was basically just like school, where I was learning to study, learning what I needed to know about the job.
Right.
And those skills really are helping a lot right now, because I'm much more, you know, focused on how I can improve myself with studying. You know, I've learned that for me, I usually work best, you know, studying 30-minute bursts and then taking a 10-minute break. But when I was going off to college, I was trying to, you know, cram everything in a 4 or 5 hour session for, you know, 6 or 7 classes.
So that class really did support you and help you figure out what worked for you.
Yeah, that and the and the job, because there was a lot of pressure to figure it out the first time.
Good.
So, you know, one of your favorite sayings was what scared straight back to, or scared straight back to school. Yeah. Talk about the connection between the, you know, that job and then kind of reentering back into school to present day.
Well, that job had a decent amount of money behind it, and everybody was super nice, but there was many amount of times where, especially in outside sales, you know, there'd be people screaming at you or yelling at you for no reason, really, because you're just showing up to talk to them in the first place. And, I mean, honestly, when we're working there, my major goal wasn't trying to sell things at first. I just wanted to get a lay of the land, you know, talk to people, figure out who I should talk to, and then try to help people out however I could. But even then, you'd get people who just holler and yell and scream at you just for walking in their store. Mm. And so it was just this constant, because you were on your own most of the time, you know, you constantly had people berating you and yelling at you, saying that you're a terrible person, pretty much. It's something that you don't want to do. And I didn't really have any other options. I'd applied to get that job. I had applied to about 200 places in about a 2 week span.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, that was the third interview I'd been to. The other two were outside sales as well, but I didn't really have many other options popping up around that time. So the first thing that I thought was, you know, if I could study for this right now and study everything that I'm doing just to do marginally okay at this job, I'm sure I can go through college and teach myself how to study better and focus on that and get something that I actually love to do.
Yeah, good. Good thinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good strategy. So tell us what led to your coaching and sort of discovering where your place was, what was going to work for you.
Well, I guess going around and working at all these different jobs, I kind of looked internally, I guess, when I was figuring out what I wanted to go back to school for. And I realized that most of them had almost no skills that I, you know, nothing, not no skills, but nothing I was doing there was something that I would want to do. So I kind of looked at hobbies and other things like that to what I might want to study. And one thing that I do a lot in my time is I spend a bunch of time looking at movies and videos and commercials and just looking at how they're made. And so I've decided that I wanted to go into like video editing of some sort, not just for like films or TV shows, but specifically for anything that I could get my hands on. If it's commercials, that's great, because each commercial is its own story in essence. And it took me some time to, after talking with the coaching stuff, took some time to kind of dig deep and figure that out. But that's not my biggest passion. And I don't think that somebody, I don't think it's necessary to follow your biggest passion, because sometimes it ends up being something that you hate after a while. You might love doing it, you know, in small bursts here and
yeah,
there.
Yeah, something you love so much you don't want to do it full time, because then you might not like it as much anymore, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I relate to that, yeah. How did you make the connection between the hobbies, things you notice you're spending your time on, and thinking about that from a professional angle?
Well, growing up, most of my family, what we do often is quote movies all the time. You know, we're having a normal conversation, there's at least five or six movie quotes in there somewhere. But I had loved just looking at different visuals and the way that things have looked in those movies as well. And when I had come back from college the first time, I was doing practically nothing until I found that job. So all I had done was pulled up Netflix, and I mean, I watched everything I could all the time. And it kind of developed itself from watching all these things and having not much else to do, because, you know, I was back very early in comparison to my friends from college
right,
for the first time. So I was pretty much here back in my hometown by myself, and that's what I had to do. I had nothing else. I couldn't go hang out with people because nobody was here. So it's something that I kind of developed over time, just watching different movies. And eventually I started watching, you know, videos on how these movies are made and, you know, what makes them good and what makes them bad. And I thought, you know what, it would be a lot of fun to sit there and, you know, tweak them or mess with them and make some something that looks great on screen. Not necessarily, you know, the story part, but at least make it look good. And that's where I kind of decided, yeah, I might as well.
Isn't that interesting that through having all this time in your hands, sort of being isolated and out of school, and finding yourself spending time doing that is what led you to something that might work for you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And you still balance that with some work, right? You're still working at the, not at the bad job,
oh, yeah,
but the other job you had, yeah, that you reignited. And so how does that work for you now? What's the blend in terms of how many hours a week of work, how many hours a week of school, how many hours a week of other activities? How's that work for you?
Well, right now I've got it set up with 2 3-hour classes, just to kind of get myself slowly back into the school life. And then I'm working 30 hours at the other job. So it's, you know, there's still an okay amount of free time. I still have time to study, and I still have time to talk to people and hang out. But I'm slowly focusing on shifting down the hours at work and shifting up the hours at school to make sure that I don't overload myself all at once. Because I don't want to end up, you know, taking, you know, 5 classes or so, working 30 hours and then getting burnout because I have no time to do anything or no time to study at all.
And are you still pursuing your interest in the editing and the videos and movies?
Yeah, I actually, just yesterday, since I work in retail, it's a very close-knit retail community type of thing. So all of the customers I know really well. And one of my customers is starting a business and he needs a film editor, and it's right now it's nothing big. And he said, I'm free to play with his video that he's already shot. So he sent me all the data, and I've been
That's
messing
awesome.
With it today.
Yeah, yeah. I can hear your voice go up to like a little higher octane when you talk about that. And I'm very enthralled with how you found this, you know, this interest of yours turning into maybe like a hobby to a project, which you never know where it might go professionally. So I think it speaks to finding those things that you like doing and maybe putting a professional hat on it.
And yeah, there was one other thing that I had seen. There was a video, and I can't remember exactly the details behind it, but it was Mike Rowe talking to like a graduating class from college, and it was some advice that he had, and it was something along the lines of you build your own passion. And it was a story of when he was working on Dirty Jobs, he had met somebody who was excellent in their field of sewage, like cleaning raw sewage. And the guy told him he had a passion for raw sewage, and he'd realized that when he started working there, and he wanted to be the best that he could. So all he would think about all day and night was raw sewage and how he could, you know, I guess, clean it more efficiently and, you know, be the best business possible, offer the best rates, until one day he kind of looked up and he goes, you know, I've actually got a passion for this. And it's wow. not something people normally do.
Awesome. That's a great story. You tell a story well.
Oh, I know. And now the other issue here is that this didn't happen overnight, did it? I mean, what?
No.
Yeah, this process is... Go ahead. Yeah.
4 years?
Yeah.
4 year process. You sound like such like a happy, confident young man. And I know like 4 years is a long time to get there, but it's just a really interesting story.
Well, I think one of the things too was really... pacing, but really going at his pace, you know, not necessarily his parents' pace, but going at his pace, you know what I'm saying, and really making it, really drilling down at his pace and his awareness and his action plans, you know what I mean, his movements.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, some of these more fast track types of, I don't know if they're out there, but you know, hey, we're going to get this knocked out in, you know, 10 sessions and he'll be a new man. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Boy, it's just, you know, that's just not the case. So I did want to underscore that this was, a process, wasn't
right.
it?
And there's work to be done, right? I mean, you have to be willing to make the commitment. And there's, you know, if you want the results, you do the work, and the movement does happen over time at your own, like you're saying, at your own pace.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it takes that movement and movements, plural, to come together, to really then. Like there's meaning, right? It's almost like an existential meaning to, okay, well, what is, you know, what does this mean? And where do you fit into all this? Right. And, or conversely, where you don't fit in to the, you know, pressure cooker, you know, door to door sales, you know, retail client sales thing. I mean, so
I think everybody should have to do one of those kind of jobs, though.
So. Oh yeah,
learn a lot.
So, Dean, do you think you built up a certain kind of resilience after having been rejected, particularly on the sales job? Do you think that kind of built you up a little bit?
I think it did, especially because for the job we were supposed to be, you know, going to 60 businesses a day.
Wow.
And whenever you have to do that and you have, you know, maybe one yes a week, which I, you know, honestly, I was getting, you know, the first one took 3 weeks to get, but then after that I got two more. It took a lot of time to just hear no over and over until I realized, like, this is normal, you know. But in reality, being successful isn't about going from point A to point B. Being successful is also about, you know, having failures over time and realizing that you can still get past those failures just by working a little bit harder.
Very well said.
That is well said, you know. And what do you think are some of the personality traits or temperament traits, Dean, that you've had to really stick with to get to where you are now?
Well, I guess the first one is, I'd say mainly just finding time to figure out kind of what works for you and how you know how you work. In essence, like everybody kind of works differently. Say, like, some people need frequent breaks, but they can work really hard and really quickly in those short spurts. Other people may be able to, you know, they might take a little bit longer, but they don't need as many breaks. And it just all depends on how you work. And it took me a long time to figure that out. And that's why I really struggled in school, because I had no idea what I was doing.
I think that's really, really good information that you're sharing, because a lot of people get fit into this 9-to-5 routine and this, you know, endurance, longer hours. And I totally agree with you. I've always considered myself a sprinter. I can work really fast and furious for a period of time, and then I need a break. And knowing how you perform and times a day and sometimes, you know, the work world doesn't really allow you to fit it to your own, I guess, your own mode, you know, your own pace.
Mm-hmm. I had always thought before as well that, the first thing I was trying to go out for college was engineering. And I was like, you know, if I could just find some job, you know, maybe work in, mechanical props or something like that, where I'm more like a contractor. In essence, I can take contracts or not, and I know that, you know, I may have 2 or 3 contracts I can do in a week, and then I'm going to need, like, you know, 3 or 4 days of a break after that, and just take time to myself, kind of collect everything, and start over the next week and do 3 or 4 contracts then. That was kind of what I was already aiming for, but I didn't do that for myself when I was studying. I was still just trying to do these huge, long projects over an extended period of time, when in reality, I had already seen for myself that I needed to work in short bursts more so than anything else.
Mm. Good to learn, right?
Yeah. It's a learning process.
Yeah, it is. It is quite a discovery process, you know. And that's kind of another fun aspect of the coaching is you work towards some shorter-term goals, and those short-term goals, you have to be nimble and be flexible. Because when you're dealing with a client Dean's age, that self-discovery is still taking place. You know, it's not like executive coaching where the guy's caught in an existing paradigm. Okay, we got to get those sales up 20%. And how are we going to deal with John Doe in this department? And how are we going to, this is a rapid departure from like executive, some of the executive coaching things I've done, where you're really, I think, and Cindy, you can probably help me clarify this, working with a young man that is still growing and developing forces me to really stick with the coaching principles, if you will, yeah. And not, you know, because you can't be directive, because you're not really directive.
But it's all about, yeah. You use the term self-discovery, and Dean said learning. It's like to be at this age that you're at, and to have gone through, you know, the school of hard knocks, literally, and to find what works for you, what lights you up. And I love especially the work habit piece, the way you work, and to own that, you know, sort of put your stamp on it, be okay with it moving forward instead of trying to fit in, you know, like a lot of people always that round, you know, round peg trying to fit in the square box and just hitting your head up against the wall, but getting tied into earning an income and building a family and a lifestyle. And really, you know, a lot of jobs don't fit somebody's pace or their style or their, you know, so discovering that and sort of owning it and recognize it, I think would be very, very beneficial. I think it's a great thing to learn at a young age, what works for you and what doesn't. That's what I'm hearing. Your discovery has been what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, that's one of the major points.
As a consumer, how would you say coaching is helpful or not helpful? What would you share with our listeners about having gone through this process, and was it facilitative? Was it helpful? And you could kind of a little bit about your thoughts about that as a consumer.
Yeah, it really helped a lot because I kind of made me realize that, you know, it's not so much that I'm failing. It's just that I'm failing to learn. You know, I may be, you know, not succeeding at something, but I wasn't taking anything away from it. I was just sitting there going, well, I screwed up there. Well, I screwed up here. And now after kind of sitting with the life coach stuff, I go, well, I screwed up, but I learned that I do this differently, or, you know, maybe I need to approach this a different way. And I need to take this, you know, slightly differently. A lot of it also would be just kind of sitting down and realizing that, you know, it's not so different from everybody who's growing up. Everybody needs to learn how they work. And the life coaching stuff has really worked out in that sense, because I may be able to explain, like, hey, you know, this happened to me at work today, or, you know, last week, and I'm thinking about moving forward with it. And then we just talk about possible consequences, possible, you know, things that may arise, or, you know, all the different options that could come from it.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Just really taking a look at what's going on and examining some of the parameters and contingencies. And it's not like we talked about just vocational stuff, right? I mean, we had some relationship moments. Where,
oh, definitely.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm happy to hear that.
I mean, not between. I mean, his
no, I know.
His own. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Whoa. Hey. No. Yeah. His did. But his with female relationships. But those also really. I bring that up because I think those also were not almost cornerstones, but they really were reflection points, you know, in the process and very meaningful. So,
yeah, a lot of that helped as well. You know, relationships are very messy oftentimes. It's the same thing, a lot of learning what works with the other person as well. And so being able to talk with somebody about your thoughts on something like that helps a lot as well.
Awesome.
Yes, indeed. So, well, great. I mean, I really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Dean.
To the show today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and being candid and sharing your experience I do want to add, I mean, you didn't mess up on anything, nor did we ever said you ever, you know, it just didn't fit. You know what I mean? If I go to the shoe store and try to put on a size 9 or 8 or something, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So yeah, just want to encourage that as well. But boy, I just, you know, I'm happy for you, and I look forward to checking in with you soon, of course, and just glad to hear, just like Cindy said, I mean, Cindy doesn't know you, and she's picking up on some real positive energy and saying, you know, even when you were talking about your passion there. So I think that that's
and
really
also the encouragement, you know, like what you've walked through for our listeners today, the encouragement you're offering, because do you know how many people, young people are out there in that place and thinking that it's not working or that they're a failure, when really, I loved what you said, Bruce, if the shoe doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. It's trial and error and coming out on the other side and determining what does. So I think you're going to be offering a lot of listeners, you know, your peers, encouragement to persevere and get support through these times so that you come out on the other side a much brighter, articulate, confident, and, you know, forward focused.
Yeah. And if I could add one thing for those people, it would be that, you know, if you're struggling with what you're doing right now, it may, like they're saying, it may not be the perfect fit. But I guarantee you there's something else out there that will work for you that you probably already like doing. It's just a matter of finding the way to go around doing it.
Yeah, yeah, figuring it out. And through every experience, you gain some knowledge. Just like, you know, you learn you hate it. And you also learn some things on the job that helped you moving forward with your learning style. So there's always a silver lining if you look for it. So you get what you look for. So it sounds like you are continuing to look for success and willing to work through it. So thanks for coming on today and offering your insight to all of us, because some of us that are parents, I'm a parent of some young people, and I really enjoyed your story. I really enjoyed you sharing it with us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. You go have a fabulous day and week and Thanksgiving.
Have a good one.
All right. Thanks. Bruce? Are you still with us, Bruce?
Oh, well, I'm with you. There we go. Had a little had a little 7-second delay here in Texas. Yeah. But anyway, but yeah, hey, you know, once again, you know, what a great
story.
Portrait. Yeah, yeah, right? A great portrait of you know, you are who you become. You're not your mistakes or things that didn't fit, but you are who you become, and even becoming in Dean's case, as he's still, you know, obviously under development, and as all young adults are. But
love his story, and I think it's going to offer so much encouragement to you know, peers of his that may be struggling with school, you know, may have to take it at a slower pace in order to find success, and may, you know, have those bumps along the way of discovering what they truly want to be doing. You know, I think a lot of young people today do want to do something that feels purposeful and that they don't hate all day long and just wait for Friday for the paycheck. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I admire him for the process he went through and coming out on the other side and sharing it. That was really, really rewarding to listen to.
That's right. That's right. It was. And so again, you know, that's what the show's about, Cindy, is us sharing, you know, cases, clients, and other professionals in the field showcasing what they do in this ever-growing and lovely field of coaching, life coaching, executive coaching. And we'll talk later on in future weeks about sobriety coaching, recovery coaching. So there's some good stuff ahead. Let me put in a plug for, please, you know, you can see Cindy's work at wisdomfoods.com. And also, folks, don't forget to visit our Facebook page at Concierge Coaches Show. And, of course, my site is conciergecoach.net. So check in those sites weekly. There's always something going on, or reach out and say hi to us on the show. We're always appreciative. And also on latalkradio.com, you can go to Channel 2 to our info page and download or play the podcasts of the show. So our producer, Ronan, and everybody, and Sam, well, does a great job of getting the podcasts up there for our listeners to look at, not look at, but listen to anytime. And
right, and you can also reach out to us by phone. you have any questions or need some support, we're available. I'm available at 714-943-6206. And Bruce?
At 214-431-2032. So I guess with that, I'll bid everybody a happy,
Thanksgiving. Holiday.
And we'll see y'all next week, or see everybody next week here on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see everybody then.
Next Tuesday. Take care.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.